scripture reading today is from Acts 3, verses 1 through 12. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" The word of the Lord.
The reading for this Sunday is from Mark chapter 6. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized Jesus, and they rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might even touch the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So that we're never tired of it, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This is an interesting story as we move through this Easter season. Remember, Easter is a full 7 weeks. It takes us that long, maybe, for it to sink in. It is a perplexing story as we live in our modern society in which we believe that all we need to do is find the answer to something and everything will be taken care of, right? Find the answer to whatever illness we have, we Google it, we get to the doctors, and if we just know how to get the answer, then we'll know how to take care of it. What is not in this story is any indication that the man who was lame from birth believed that Peter and the rest of the disciples could do anything about his condition except to give him some money. What this man did realize was that he could make some cash by hanging outside the temple where people came in and out because of their belief in God. Smart place to go. Focusing on people's maybe guilt or shame about their resources or obligations to share. I was sitting at a cafe in Iringa in Tanzania. It was called Hasty Tasty Cafe, a little place, a little duka that was great for, it was samosas and a good cup of tea. And they actually had an outdoor sitting area, a couple chairs and a table. And as I was watching, think of it as a strip mall, down this row of dukas or shops, and the merchants were opening up their places, sweeping out around the outside, getting all their products on display. Along came a man, and you saw many of these, but this man was with a cane and a very struggling, noticeable limp, dragging almost this foot behind him and holding out a hand as he held onto his cane and begging for money, just like not even speaking. And he came to the different merchants, and some of them just dismissed him, somewhat like what we do here today. But one man, it was curious, one merchant stopped him, had some words of conversation, went back into his shop, came out, and gave him some coins. The man went away, kept begging from others. I walked over to that man, curious, and I said, I have to ask you this question. What made you decide to give this man coins while others said no? And he said, "Well, it's part of my religion." He says, "I'm Muslim, and part of one of the tenets of our religion is to share our resources with those in need. For whatever reason, the man in our story today, being lame from birth, was brought to the temple by these unnamed people, and he was asking for money. In the story, we hear that he was lame from birth. He never experienced walking, you see. He never ran or jumped like other children. He never took a slow walk along the beach. He was lame from birth. Can you imagine the inferiority complex that this man held on to, that was built into him over the years? Kids teasing him, watching them play, and he couldn't. Adults walking by, shaking their heads, wondering what this kid had done or his parents had done wrong for him to be in that condition. He was never allowed in the temple because of that condition. And that's part of this story that we need to understand. This was a temple where people came because they were considered part of the community, where they worshiped a God who called them special or chosen. He was never one of those people. He was never included in that chosen title. Why should we have faith in the first place? Faith in healing? Faith never got him anywhere. In the story, it never says that he believed in God. He believed that the disciples had something to give to him, money. That's what he was looking for. But he didn't believe like those other religious people. Why else? Why else would he go to a place that would constantly rub his face into his guilt and shame? What else was he to believe? His life was already etched in stone. So this man with no known faith in God begs, and Peter and the others stop and they notice. Perhaps that's our first step to learn in this lesson. We as Easter people are called upon first to stop and notice, to actually notice those who are left out around us. I can't think that some of you students in grade school or high school or even in college or university are not aware of people around you who are constantly left out. We are called not to judge, but to engage in a conversation, as this story leads us. That day, this lame man received the unexpected. He kept asking for money, and they said they didn't have any money, which says to me they must have been church people. Peter said that he had no money, but he had something else. He invited the man to actually stand up. Imagine, lame from birth. What do you mean stand up? He pronounced it in the name of Jesus, and he gave this man his legs back for the first time in his life. Now, I have to admit, it's really a good story. But I approach this story with the baggage of a lot of cynicism. Lately, I would love God to work this miracle. I beg God to work this miracle. I want cancer and blindness and woundedness and all the suffering of the world to be eliminated, and I want God to act now. So is this an old story that never really was intended to play itself out in our time, just to soothe us like a balm in Gilead? Is this just a sentimental story with no hope for it to be real for us today? I wrestle with those questions all the time. Or is this a story of what Easter life is intended to be like? First, it is rooted, grounded in prayer. This story tells us that prayer is powerful. I'm not sure if I approach prayer in the same way that Peter and James and John did. How often I've used, maybe you've used this sentence when someone says to you something is wrong, you'll say, well, I'll pray for you, right? As if we're just saying, well, have a good day. Or we say, I'm thinking about you. We hear that on TV. Our prayers and thoughts are with you. Are they really? Is that what we really mean? Do we expect anything from our prayers? Do we approach prayer with the expectation that it is important and it works? Is prayer a way to remain connected with the risen God and then to trust that Paul said when he said, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God? Is that what prayer does? Continues to keep me connected to this promise? In a day when we hear often that things matter, does prayer matter? These were fishermen, you see. They were uneducated people. They were people with little to no status or in positions of any importance in their world. These people did not have any money, but they had the faith in a risen God. They had the promise. They had not a dead Jesus, not some church doctrine, not some repeated practice. They certainly did not have all the answers or all the technological insight. They had absolutely nothing except this deep trust in the one who once was dead but now is alive. That is who they were looking towards. That is who they invited the lame man from birth to look at. Not themselves to say, look at us. But they wanted that lame man to see the promise in the flesh. They insisted that this beggar look at him. Look at us, they said. They were living as a reflection of Jesus. They were witnesses of Jesus. They were acting on the behalf of Jesus. They were, maybe we could say, leaning into the Easter promise. Some of you may not know this, but I ran cross country for years. I hated every moment of it. I ran cross country because the winter sport of basketball, my passion, needed one to be in shape, and at 99 pounds going into high school, my mom put her foot down and said, no football for you. So cross country became my sport in high school and beyond, and I used to wear this button in the back of my uniform that just simply said, don't follow me, I'm lost. But one thing I did find out about cross country, we had to run some pretty steep hills. It's almost like this 8% grade out here on 70th Street. And when you run a hill, you lean into the hill. Maybe it has something to do with gravity, but you lean into the hill. If you run straight up and down, it's going to be a lot harder than leaning into the hill. Being Easter people does not mean that everything will be just fine. The life of the disciples gives this truth a good testimony. They were all killed or died an early death. Some were crucified, some upside down. Some were beheaded. Some were hunted and persecuted. They witnessed death in many ways. But that did not stop them from leaning into this promise. That is how they looked at life in a new way. Cam Cruz said to me yesterday, he said, I hope people do not get angry with God because I have cancer. He said, I hope they don't do that. I'm not angry with God. I hope they can still cling to the promise. One of the most powerful phrases in Scripture for me is what St. Paul said. Now remember, this is a guy who was arrested, beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, you name it, it all happened to him. And he said these words, whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. It was his way of saying, I'm going to live my life leaning into that promise, into that balm of Gilead. Does this mean cure cannot happen? No, it does. It can. But it also means that if cure does not happen, that God has not failed us. For what we know from the resurrection is that God continues to work in and through this life into the promise of life forever. We called this God Emmanuel a few months ago, which means God is with us. That promise remains. That God comes to us each and every day, in hospital rooms, in wheelchairs, in churches, in workplaces, in schools, whatever situation we are in. This is where I gain my strength, even in the midst of my cynicism at times. This is where I remain alert to watch for God showing up, as the lame man from birth was alert enough to anticipate something to happen. This is the one that I look to at times of trouble. This is who I look to when I am lost. This is what I see in you as people of God gathering today to give worship to a God even when your lives are filled with uncertainty, trusting and keeping your eyes on Jesus. Amen.